тоже ведет промышленность.
Я сейчас не
Tess Vov Sivon, Tuesday the 29th of May, Rabbi Eli Pick, Relevance of Technology. It's working.
What is technology?
I'm reading that one morning, I bring it. Parashas there. This week's Parsha, Parshas Pahaloscha. We learn the din of Pesach Sheni. There were some people who complained, Lomon Ligara, it's not fair. We lost out because we could not bring the Korban Pesach when the due time came in Chodesh Nisan, because we were Tomei. So we've lost out on a mitzvah. What's going to happen about it? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Imdu Veshmo, listen to what Hashem's going to tell you. And then Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe Lema, Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes. Daber Bnei Yisrael Lema, Ish Ishkiet Tomei Lo Nefesh. Anyone who has been Tomei, Ober Derech Rechoka, or far away, shall we say, Rochem and Odor Seichem, future generations, then you will have the din of Bachodesh Hasheni, Babos Sayom, Bein Arbaim, you will make a Korban Pesach. Look, Pesach Sheni is not really a Yom Tov, but it's like a Tashlumin. You didn't manage to bring the Korban Pesach in Chodesh Nisan, a very chosh of a thing. It's a Mitzvah which carries an Issur Koreis. So those who are not able to bring in Chodesh Nisan are given a second chance. Another chance. In fact, the Chiddush Arim says, the late Gera Rebbe, Rabbi Saul Yitzchok Me'alta, he says, what does it mean, Derech Rechoka? There are some people, Nebuch, who are spiritually far away. Derech Rechoka. But Hashem reaches out to them. He gives them another chance. That's the Hashkofer idea. But we're dealing today with Halacha. The Halacha is that if you're far away from Yerushalayim, you have no chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach. What does it mean when we say if you're far away from Yerushalayim? The Torah doesn't say. It just says b'derech rechoka. Fortunately, we got the benefit of Torah Shebal Peh, and Chazal were masaking what this means. So we go to the Mishnah in Pesachim, Perek Tes, Misha Tomei Obederech Rechoka, Velo Oso Es Harishon, Ose Yas Es Hasheni. If a person did not manage to bring the Korban Pesach in Nisan, then he brings it in Chodesh Iyar. Ezu Derech Rechoka, second Mishnah asks, what does it mean when you say far away? Does it mean Australia? Does it mean New Zealand? No. Min HaModiim Ulechutz. Modiim. Modiim. Modiim is 15 mil. A mil is approximately a kilometre. Modiin, a radius of Yerushalayim, or 15 mil, that is already called Derech Rechoka. What's the idea? Is it such a far distance? 15 mil, which is about 8 miles? It's not very far at all. So Chazal said, look, we're going to imagine somebody who sets off by foot, walking to Yerushalayim, and he's walking at a leisurely pace. So it's going to take him from sunrise at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're talking about Chodesh Nisan, about 6 o'clock in the morning, to arrive at Chatzos in Yerushalayim. So that's 6 hours, and walking at a leisurely pace, we will say 15 mil, 15 kilometres. It roughly works out at about 1.5 miles an hour, which is very slow. But you might stop for a rest, you might be pushing prams, you might be pushing wheelchairs. So that was what Chazal was masaki. And if you're outside that distance, you don't have to bring Korban Pesach. Now, the question is, when we come to the subject of technology, what about nowadays, or in Yitz Hashem, B'mher B'yomenu, when Mashiach comes, we will have some very fast modes of transport, especially Eged buses, which will get us to Yerushalayim much more quickly. I know, some people shiver when I say Eged buses. Yeah. Once, there was one shul where they were appointing a Rav, and the board of management member asked me, what prime quality do you want to see in your Rav? And I said, I want somebody who can put the fear of God into me. And he said, oh, you can get an Eged bus driver to do that. But now we've got trains to Yerushalayim. There have been trains since 1892. And Rav Yeshilev Diskin remarked when he heard the whistle of the first train coming to Yerushalayim in 1892, oh, I hear the sound of Geula, because this is a development of Yerushalayim to prepare us for the coming of the Mashiach. And soon, I think in a few weeks, we're going to have a fast train going from Ben Gurion Airport to the Old City. Now, so there the Mishnah says, Modiin, 15 mil. And the question we've got is what will happen in the future? Because 15 mil, I mean, it's a joke that it's 15 mil, because in a car you'll be able to travel from Modiin to Yerushalayim in a matter of minutes. And certainly, what with train travel and even air travel, I mean, you can get from London to Yerushalayim in 6 hours, if you're talking about synchronizing it carefully. So maybe the whole definition of Derech Rechoka will change, that if you are in London at dawn on Erev Pesach, you maybe have a chiyuv to go to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. This question is addressed by the Tiferes Yisrael. And there in Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph, he says the idea of getting there for Chatzos, for the Shechitas HaPesach, when you will walk Baraglov Banachas, and then he writes, Uchashenizke Lasos HaPesach, Imyutz Hashem Bizmaneinu, please God, very soon, speedily in our days, we will be bringing the Korban Pesach to Yerushalayim. Shimtziu HaTachbola Lahalech B'mehirus, there will be a faster form of transport, Al Yedei Shvilei Barzel, Eisenbahn. Eisenbahn being the train. The train had been founded, car travel wasn't around yet, but trains were. And so he was asking the question, since we're going to have trains, in Yitzhak Hashem, Yi Yeshom Eisenbahn, there will be a train coming to Yerushalayim. Therefore, the deal will surely change. The Derech Rechoka's definition will be different. Oz, he said, Yi Yedin Derech Rechoka Mashuna. The deal of Derech Rechoka will be different. Than what the Mishnah had said. I'll be based in Agol Shia Oz, Imyutz Hashem Yerushalayim, Tibonim Sikonin Omei. Namely, that there will be a new based din, a Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, and they will change the whole din of Derech Rechoka. This defense story is quoted quite frequently, but unfortunately, most people who quote it don't realize that there's a very tiny footnote at the bottom, in small print, a little asterisk, and he says, Ato Hodarnobi. No, I've changed my mind. Bipnation is karati b'gemar pesachim, because I now remember that there's a gemar pesachim, daf tzadi dalad amad aleph, ton rabbon on hoya omeid chutz l'modiim. If a person is outside the radius of Modiim, he's more than 15 mil away. And he's able to travel by means of a horse or mule or maybe some other fast animal. So the Gemara says, I might assume that he's chayav to bring the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, no. Talmud Lomar, uvaderech lehoya. You're not on the way. What does that mean? Chazal defined uvaderech lehoya. You're not on the way, and if you're outside that radius, you're outside that radius. And it doesn't make any difference if you've got a fast horse, or a Lamborghini car, or some other Spitfire, or rocket, or whatever it is. It doesn't help you. You are outside the radius of Yerushalayim, which was defined by Chazal. So how do we understand this Chazal in the light of modern technology, that there are changes happening nowadays and in the future which will enable fast travel, and that surely will change halacha? And when we talk about change halacha, we're not chas v'sholom talking about the reform ideologies. This is proper Torah, that the whole din is based upon the circumstances and the way you're going to achieve it. So in order to understand this, I'm going to bring you a Rambam from Hilchas Shechita. And there, in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes about the different types of animals which are trefa. Trefa doesn't mean not kosher. Trefa means, well, it does, but the word we use colloquially is different to what we really mean by trefa. Trefa means an animal which will die within 12 months. That is a trefa. And Chazal defines a trefa as one which will die within 12 months. Says the Rambam, V'chein elu shimonu, these kinds of trefa, V'rom shei trefa, afal pi shiyire b'dakei harafua shebiodeinu. What about if you've got medicine which will cure these animals and they won't die within 12 months? Shemiksoson einu misin, so some of them will not die because you will cure them by means of your medicine. V'ev shashitia mehen, einucha elama shimonu chachomi. He says, we have medicine, we can kill many of these animals. But the Chachomim defined what a trefa is. And once they defined what that trefa is, that definition sticks. So, as it says, Shenema al pi ha-Torah she-yarucha, according to the Torah which they teach you. Chazon Ish explains this in a very interesting way. In Hilchas Trefas, in Siman Hay, he explains like this. V'akol oruch v'sudam eis ha-bari ha-kodesh baruchim. Bereshis Habriya, that when Hashem created the world, He had a plan in mind. And that plan was based upon Chazal in the future. That He knew when Chazal were going to make their deliberations. He knew when Chazal were going to make their definitions. And He based His Briyas HaOlam on that. So that sometime in the future, Nimsa l'chachomim l'kvo ha-treifas. He gave the power to the chachomim to define what a treifer is, al pi ruach kodshel, by means of the ruach ha-kodesh, which was given to them. And that din of treifas would be l'doros. Four ways. The ein lonu Torah chadosh achareim. And there's no such thing as a new Torah afterwards. So that when Chazal has been masakeh and they define what a treifer is, that's the definition which sticks. And for all future generations. And so he says, so even though according to the Darkei HaRefuah, according to the doctors which we have now in our hands, that we will not have to let all these animals die, that they're not really treifer, you might say, because they will be alive in 12 months' time. No. That is the definition which Chazal made, and even with modern medicine, modern antibiotics, modern penicillin and vaccinations and whatever you might have in the 21st century, that will not deprive the animal of the din of treifa once it's got that definition which we have from Chazal. So that will feel like, you know, once you've got a din, the din sticks. We've got the din of Derech and Choka, we've got the din of Trefa, and that's how it is for all generations. And you might ask the question, that in the future, we've got the Beis HaMikdosh, what will the position be as regards technology? Surely there will be lighting in there, electric lighting, heating, or are we just going to have the old-fashioned candles which they may have had in former times? Will there be air conditioning? Thermostatic controls, maybe there'll be computers, maybe there can be speakers, because you'll have lots of queues outside, people waiting to bring their carbonus, and you need an orderly system, so you might have a system with a screen like you have in Argos waiting for your turn to turn up. Will there be this, or won't there be this? So, let's look at what the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Aleph Halacha Tesvov. Avnei Heichal Vazoros Shenif. Shenifkemu o shenigmemu pasulim. If any of the stones built for the Beis HaMikdosh are spoilt or damaged, eilei pidyon elo nignozim, you can just put them away, you can't use them. Kol even shenaga bo ha-barzel. If metal has touched any stone, afal pi shelo nifkemu, even if it hasn't spoilt it, the binyan ha-mizbeach, binyan ha-keves, no good. Why? It says in the pasuk, ki chabucho ha-inafta oleo batechal aleo, ba-bode even shenaga bo ha-barzel ba-mizbeach ha-bekeves, loike. There is a losase, and also a bone even pogum over base, and there's also an over base if you build an even pogum. Now, understandably, if you're going to put an electricity supply in the Beis HaMikdosh, you're going to get your Eastern European workers who are going to come with the hammers and chisels and knock away and make holes, and you're going to fall over them as well, and the whole place will become a mess. Well, that is no good. That is against the halacha. You cannot touch the stones of the Beis HaMikdosh. However, my Rebbe Rav Shimon Weiser Shlita said, there's no reason why in the Beis HaMikdosh you will not be able to have electrical appliances as long as they are not fixed to the structure of the building. So you could have standing lamps, LED, battery type lamps or whatever, which are not fixed. Or you might have some remote control systems where things can be controlled from outside. So you will be able to have appliances, but nothing which affects the structure of the building. But as we move ahead in technology and we get other questions arising in all spheres of halacha, there's one halacha which we all know about which doesn't seem to be very well kept nowadays. And what is that? And that's the mitzvah of peor. The corner of the field to put it aside for the poor people. A farmer is supposed to leave an area for peor, but you look around, who fulfills this mitzvah nowadays? And the Ramah actually deals with this question in Simon Shin Lamed Beis in Yeredeah. He's saying, well, nowadays the poor people are not coming to pick the wheat. The goyim are coming instead to pick it. And the Chazon Ish deals with this in Hilchas Maisras in Simon Zion. He says, Kefiro Sadenu Loyatriach Shum Oni Lelech Basod Lilko. Nowadays, with technology as it is, with the way bread is baked, you're not going to get a poor person who's going to pick the corn with the wheat in the field, he's going to start threshing it and winnowing it and grinding it and sifting it and baking it with all that tirche involved, where for 89 pence he can get a loaf of bread in Krajinski. He's not going to bother. So the reason why we're not so mukbid nowadays is because technology, in a way, has removed the relevance would be too reform a word, but it would remove the need for payot and the utility of it, and it's become lost. And what he says, the Chazanish, that the Arabs will come and pick it instead. Well, nowadays, going by recent events, the Arabs will come and burn it instead. So this question of technology, does it apply or doesn't it apply, we've looked at in a few instances where, in a way, it does not really change things. But that's not always the case, because there are other instances in halacha where we find technology does change things. And the first example I bring is from...
You still have to leave payot, even if they don't come, even if they don't take it.
Yeah, well, I'll show you the chazanish later. In Gemara Tanis, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, there's a Mishnah which says, "Begimul Machesh Van Shalom Nesagah Shomim." Rabban Gamliel Omer B'Shiva Bo, Tesvav Yom Achar Achad. After Sukkos, 15 days after Sukkos, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael start davening the Saint Hanumosa. We in Chutz Laretz start 60 days after the autumn equinox, 4th or 5th of December, but the halacha is in Eretz Yisrael, you start 2 weeks after. Why 2 weeks after? Says the Mishnah, Kedei Shiagia Achron Shev Yisrael Nahar Peros. In order that people who are travelling back from Yerushalayim to their homes after Olah L'Regel can get back in time before the rains really come down. You can't start davening for rain to pour while people are still on the roads. It's taking them up to 2 weeks to get back home, up to the Nahar Peros. And so we allow 2 weeks for the Saint Halumotah to start in order that people can get home. So the obvious question is, what about in the future? When in Yitz Hashem we have a Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, are they going to carry on and insist that you wait 2 weeks when people will get home on the Eged bus or on the train within a day or two to all parts of Eretz Yisrael? You won't need to wait for 2 weeks. And on this, my Rebbe Rav Shimon Weiser said there will be no reason why the din cannot change, that a Sanhedrin will be masaking, that maybe 2 or 3 days later, give some time to say goodbye to the Mishpocha and so on, and there'll be obviously a big rush and crowds filling up all the buses and trains. So they'll probably give 2 or 3 days for people to get home, and then the Saint Halamota will start earlier in order that the Gishmei Brocha can start.
Does it not say that Yerushalayim will be mispashit to the whole of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael will be mispashit to the whole of the world? In which
true.
Case you'll need more time to get home to Australia or...
Okay, but we're talking now halachically and not figuratively. Okay, let's come now to a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Beis, it talks about the din of Kiddush HaChodesh, which we will, in Yitz Hashem, be Mekadosh al Pi Ora'iyah. So we've all got calendars, we know when Rosh Chodesh is, but in the future we won't work according to these fixed calendars. In the future we will go back to the way it was of old, to look out for the new moon. Witnesses will come to the Beis Din, even if it means being Mechal of Shabbos, and they will report and be testifying according to whether they saw the new moon, and then the Shluchim go out. Why do the Shluchim go out? Because the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Beis on the Beis, says, B'Rishon Hoyu Masin Masuos. Originally, they lit bonfires. In order to spread word that it's Rosh Chodesh, what would the Beis Din do? At particular hilltops, which are listed there in the Mishnah, they lit these bonfires, and when people saw these bonfires, they lit further bonfires, so that all around the Eretz Yisrael, they will know that it's Rosh Chodesh. That is the Siman. However, the Kusim were troublemakers, these Samaritans or whatever they're called, and they started lighting bonfires at other times just to confuse us. To make mole chose, chose mole, whatever. So as a result of that, the Beis Din was masakin b'rishim, b'shon ha'yom masin masuos, m'shkil kol ha'kusim, eskinishu shluchim yotzin. So the shluchim have to go out. And when the shluchim go out, it takes time to get to all parts of Eretz Yisrael. So much so that that's how you got the din of Yom Tov Sheni and Chutz Laretz, because the shluchim couldn't get to all parts. Indeed, they couldn't even get to all parts of Eretz Yisrael. Because especially in the month of Tishri, when you've got 2 days Rosh Hashanah, because the Shluchim could not break Shabbos or Yom Tov like the Eidim could. So the Shluchim go out, they can't go out Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah's 2 days, possibly one day or possibly 2 days. You've got a Shabbos or two in between, you've got Yom Kippur, so you're not going to reach everybody in time for Sukkot to tell them that it's Yom Tov, and that's how the din of Yom Tov Sheni evolved for Chutz Laretz. So the question is this, in the future, we will not need Shluchim to go out on horses to spread the news that it's Rosh Chodesh. Why? Already the Maharam Shik said in his Chumash in Yerodeh Shin Samach Aleph, he said telegrams have come out and we can send out telegrams. The radio has come out. Rav Reuven Margolyos writes about this in the 1950s. We've got quick means of communication whereby we can spread the word. And no doubt nowadays, what with emails and passwords and other forms of technology, you will be able to protect yourself against the kusim who might try and thwart your message to distort when Rosh Chodesh really is. So then, as a result of having a base din which can send out that it's Rosh Chodesh, by email, by passwords, or whatever it is, you'll be able to tell everyone instantly when Rosh Chodesh is, and you won't have this long wait. It leads to the question whether there'll be Yom Tov Sheni. The Minchas Chinuch says there will still be Yom Tov Sheni, certainly for Rosh Hashanah, but that's another subject. So that question is interestingly addressed by the Maharam Shik in Chelek Yerodeh Simon Shin Samach Aleph, and there he addresses the question in connection with a shiva, with avelos. Why? Because there's a din of, if you're a mokum korov or mokum rochok, if you are very near to a place where a shiva starts, and you are a close relation and you have to travel to the shiva, if you're nearby, then you're starting the same time as everybody else. But if you're a mokum rochok, if you're far away, then your shiva might start a day or two later. So what is the din? Because if Mokum Korov or Mokum Chorochok has a definition, and the definition given is 10 parsos. 10 parsos, which is really a full day walking from dawn through sunrise to through midday, through Shkia to Seis Kechovim. So 10 parsos is 40 mil. This is based on the same Gemara, in fact, which we learnt about with Korban Pesach and Pesach and Tzadi Gimel. So to take into account that you will be able to travel more quickly as a result of modern transport, is this din going to change, or does it even change now? Because it's not a halacha for the Beis HaMikdash, it's a halacha which is nowadays. We've got a din of Mokum Karov and Mokum Rochok. Do we say that we apply the same din of Eser Masos? So he writes that now we've reached the stage, Bomi Mokum Karov Lahadis. There are long distances you can travel within one day. In case in Chadish Ha'Eisenbahn, the train has now come out. You can travel in one day from Prague. I think he means Holich means Holland. I'm not sure. Pardon? Yeah, well, nowadays you can go by train from Prague to Holland in 8 hours. And Amsterdam, there was a very big community at the time he wrote, so I'm assuming he meant there. He also talks about Frankfurt. Nowadays you can travel from Prague to Frankfurt in 4.5 hours. So this is all easily within one day. Do we say that the din of 10 parsois is based on one day's travel, in which case that you are still a mokum korov when you hear about Nebuch, the Patira and the Shiva, when you're so many miles away, when you're in Frankfurt or when you're in Amsterdam and it's happening in Prague? That is the question which he addresses. He quotes the Chasam Sofer, he quotes the Noda Behuda, and he says, indeed, the din changes. As from now. Ah, you might ask the question, what about a poor person who can't afford the train fare? Is it right? Because then you're making everybody unequal. So he says, so we say the poor person is onus. He can't help it, he can't afford his train ticket, but that will not affect the din. An amazing chiddush. And he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim about the fast horses, the sus and prodim yachol lelech yoseh. So although he says that does not change the din as far as Korban Pesach is concerned, yes it does indeed when it comes to the din of Shiva. Ah, maybe Chazal ruled that the walking of the 10 pasos or the 15 mil is when you're walking slowly, and we don't want to encourage people to walk fast because it takes away some of your eyesight. and you'll get very tired, Yofi Yiga, but nevertheless, he says it's easy to travel that way. If you go on the Eisenbahn, it's not going to harm you in any way. And therefore, he says, Shapli Yeshlem Demikri Mokum Korov, and that is all called Mokum Korov, together with the use of the Eisenbahn. And there's a tshuva on this by Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Tshuvas Manhogas Kerech Aleph Siman Tov Reish Sadi, asking these questions that if you're in different parts of Europe, do we apply this din of Mokum Korov? And he quotes this tshuva of the Maharam Shik, and he says, yes, indeed. However, he is a bit masupik as to using the train or an airplane for long distances. Why? Because when Chazal said walking, you know, you're bus number 11, you've got your 2 feet, and you're healthy, Baruch Hashem, you can walk. But then with something else, like a train or a car or an airplane, you're relying on something else, you're relying on somebody else maybe, and that might not be so reliable. So the problem is that... Yeah, all right, okay. But you know what it's like in this country. They talk about the train is delayed because there were leaves on the line, or there was the wrong kind of snow. So he is not keen to apply the rule of the train for long distances. But his opinion is when it comes to the use of a car, when you've got the car outside the door, you're in full control over it. So if you can travel this distance within one day in a car, that is adequate to say you are Mokum Korov, you are nearby. But he's not very keen on it with the train, unless it's wholly reliable. And as far as flying in an airplane is concerned, he talks about flying from Europe to South Africa, there is less certainty. Trains get delayed, there's problems with the refueling because of the lightning and lots of shubbers, and there's a strike going on, and therefore he decides that you cannot rely on some modern forms of transport in order to benefit. Encouraging people to come with. Yeah, okay. The time is short, so I'll take some questions later. In Hilchos Tefillah, this question comes up very much. Why? Because when you're on a journey and you want to daven with a minyan, what's the din? So if you're travelling, you're supposed to travel up to 4 mil for your minyan. And if you go back, you go back 1 mil. What's the measure given? 72 minutes for dalad mil, and 1 mil, 18 minutes. That is to say that if you're within such a distance, or is it distance, or is it time, then you've got a chiyuv to daven in that shul. So that is the question, and the Piskei Tshuvos brings down a number of opinions, and he says, "Umasharim shiuzeh lefi zaman velo lefi hiluch." Not according to your walking, but according to the time, which means that if you have a fast car, and the idea of 1 mil of going back is the same as if you're stationary. If you're stationary, it's a din like if you're going back. So therefore, if within 18 minutes you can get to a minyan, whether it's by the tube train, or whether it's by your fast car, or whether it's by a helicopter, then you've got a chiyuv to get to that shul. Even though you won't be able to walk it within 18 minutes, but you can get there within 18 minutes. So, you know, Milton Keynes is less than an hour away on the train. And the same din applies with the Tilas Adayim. If you need water to wash your hands for a meal, how far do you have to travel in order to get that water? And it's the same din. Dalad mil forward, 1 mil backward, and if you're stationary, you have to travel at least 18 minutes. And the Mishbrua, the Bil Halacha, writes in Sima Kuf Samach Gimel, Barochot Yosem Dalad Milin, Umistabak Shu Noseya, Begamra Pircha Gonal Fest. That's the Yiddish, he means a train. Ein choshrin lefi arech haderech. We don't go according to the distance. Elon fi cheshben hazman, the time it takes you. So that if you have to travel for 72 minutes, so you will do so for an odom beinoni. V'hu adin b'mechones diomenu, not just the train, until asidai, but also with a car, says the Piskei Tshuvos. Technology plays its role in lots of other ways. The most interesting discovery which scientists have made, perhaps you could say, is DNA. And DNA, its discovery, has helped a lot in solving various questions and problems. The question is, does it take the halacha into account, or does the halacha take the DNA into account? And there is, in fact, a Beis HaMidrash which specialized on this under the direction of Rav Vozner Bnei Barak and Rav Nissim Karelitz, and they wrote a whole kuntras about the subject of DNA, when it can apply in halacha, when it can't apply. For example, for dinim of kavura, to assemble body parts which can't be easily identified, you can use DNA in halacha. For purposes of identifying a mace, in order to sit shiva, there is a but there. There is a yes and a but. Yes, it can be used for sitting shiva, but if there is a widow who is also sitting shiva, that's not enough evidence for her to remarry, and therefore we will not use the DNA to enable sitting shiva if there is a widow involved. Because although we want to do everything we can to solve the problem of agunos, DNA claims a 98.8% certainty, and it's not 100%. And you need, for the purposes of aguna, a simon muvhak. So the psak is that for an aguna, it is a very, very useful tool to enable a woman to remarry, but you need another piece of evidence as well. For criminal law, DNA is of no use in halacha, because in English law, the principle used is beyond all reasonable doubt. But in halacha, you need shnei edim when it comes to convicting under criminal law, and DNA is of no use. And for purposes of Yerusha, there are different questions depending on whether the person is muchzak and has the assets in possession, hamotzi b'chavon amaraya, but there may be circumstances in Yerusha when you can use DNA, but on the question of determining mamzerus, you can't. There's an interesting halacha in Hilchas Shabbos when it comes to preparing for Shabbos. Ezra was mesaken that you shall wash your clothes on Thursdays. Why? In order that you're not matriach so much on Fridays, which can be disruptive in your Shabbos preparations and it becomes close to Shabbos, and therefore you should avoid washing clothes on Fridays. Says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos and Rav Noivitz Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, he says in Perek Mem Beis Or Yod Gimel that really the Takon of Ezra doesn't really apply anymore. Why? Because originally when people washed their clothes, they'd go to the bathhouse, they'd go outside the street, they'd go to the laundrette, and they'd have to wring the clothes, whatever it is. So nowadays you've got your automatic washing machine, you push the button, you've got a tumble dryer. Therefore, the Takana of Ezra we don't apply, even though it's nice, the Chovet Shabbos, to avoid doing anything heavy on Erev Shabbos. And the Piskei Tshuva says, you don't even need a Beis Din to override this with a Beis Din which is greater in Chochma v'Minyan. Why? Because the whole Takona had a reason. The reason being that you shouldn't be matriach on Erev Shabbos. Since the reason falls apart, so the Takona automatically falls apart. And in that respect, so the Torah doesn't change. Let's not fall into the reform arguments. The Torah doesn't change. But the reasons for the takonas, if they fall apart, then things change. And therefore, we can be zoicha in the future to be bringing Korban Pesach, Ketikuno, without having to rely on Pesach Sheni, that we should not be Tomei or Bederech Rechoka. Thank you very much.